Hopefully you guys can hear us well on TikTok and Rumble. Let us know.
Yes, let us know in chat that you could hear us and see us.
So this is so fun. We've been planning
Breaking up.
this for so long, and we were meant to be doing this on the Monday. My stream is.
Okay, so you're back. You were breaking
So
up.
let me see. Guys, let me
Good
know in the
now.
comments if you can hear us okay. Aurora, am I breaking up? Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
So let me know if I break up again, but we were planning this for so long. We've been
You're breaking
really
up again.
excited to get together and do this show for you guys, Reseed in Eden. We were planning on power cuts. No. Okay. TikTok friends, you might have to go and find us on Rumble if you can. We're on Rising Phoenix Aurora's Rumble channel, and I'll try and come back on here again after if I can, but I'm thinking just stream wise, I need to just stay on one because I can't stream them both. So, Rising Phoenix Aurora's Rumble channel.
Okay, if you
One
guys can
sec.
hear me, we're just waiting for
How's it now?
us. Okay, so you're not on live anymore there, right?
Yeah, I think
Okay,
it's
that's
just
perfect. This
struggling.
works.
Struggling
Beautiful.
to do both, but I'll comment on my video to tell everyone to come to Rumble, and then we'll get
Okay.
everyone on there instead.
Awesome. Yes, you did. Okay, beautiful. Whoa, what an honor it is to be here with you today. Yeah, wow. This is huge. So, intro, I mean, do you want to start it off, Aura?
I mean, we've been planning on doing these calls for like over a month now. We've been wanting to get together and do this Reseed in Eden journey. I'm from the UK and Rising Phoenix Aurora is from the US, and so we were like, we need to get together and start sharing some wisdom about what's going on in the world and how we can start reseeding Eden or heaven on earth throughout all of the craziness that goes on in the world, because it can feel quite unsettling sometimes. And when we've been walking our spiritual paths individually for so long, and so we see things from like almost like a spiritual point of view, we always connect into our angels and ask for the bigger picture on things. And we felt together that we could kind of like unify both worlds, both sides of the earth, and just help people with a bigger understanding on what's going on and how we can navigate these realms. So I'm Aura Zakara, and I have been a spiritual teacher, healer, and guide for many years. I teach about light path living, which is really about how to eat well, how to think positively, how to speak positively, how to really live your spiritual life in a lifestyle, so that you can maintain a positive energy every single day. And it's not always positive, it's not always easy, but it's how to actually navigate when times are tough using the tools that we can use. So I have a website, I've got groups, group study classes, books, video courses. You can schedule one-on-ones, and I'm really, really grateful to be here and connecting with Rising Phoenix Aurora, who is just amazing. So if you want to do your little intro, I know that everyone on your Rumble channel know you already, but for anyone that's coming over from my channel, I'd love for you to introduce yourself as well.
Thank you. It is such an honor. Thank you for being here. Everyone who is listening now and will listen in the future. I love you with all that I am. Everything I do is within love and for the always in assistance to the collective. This is grand. This has been in the makings in the celestial light and the starlight for long, or centuries or even millenniums. So this show is going to be quite epic. You definitely don't want to miss it every month. This is going to be another way that you could say kind of like the real updates, the energy, the news going on, you know, the real news you could say. energetically, spiritually, celestially, galactically. So Aura will give us updates on what's going on over there on her side of the world, while and then I'll give updates on what's going on over here, and of course also our journey and everything that we're getting from our divine team. So really, healing the hearts, healing the two dragons, the world. If you've been watching my Antarctica Tartaria series, you know what I'm talking about, how England factually looks like a dragon. We America look like a dragon. So bringing the dragons together so that their hearts can stay united and aligned and connected, Divine Mother and Father, dragons. So what a joy. And then yeah, I do online workshops, retreats, and my next online workshop is actually this month for you to become raw Reiki certified, which teaches you how to entity removal, walk your most organic timeline. That's October 25th, 25th, 10 to 5 to 5. And then the next one for Aura and raw, both healing modalities that actually Aura is certified through, which is so incredible, which is how I got to meet her in person in Ireland, our Ireland retreat in August, Lionsgate. So that one's in November, November 10. But yeah, keep an eye out. So go sign up to my newsletter, go to my website, risingphoenixaura.com, to sign up to the newsletter. Otherwise, I am the founder of Rising Phoenix Mystery School, and I also have three books right now and many more in the making, tons. You've heard of the Lost Cities of Tartaria. Thank you, Aura. You've been posting about it, so I appreciate you for doing that. So Lost Cities of Tartaria, then we have two other books that go into the history of the universe and multiverse through people's memories, which is quite incredible. You can't kind of debunk people's memories that all match up to the same kind of story. Thousands, a thousand pages there alone. Yeah, so, and then you could go to aurapractitioners.com to find out any more of my Rising Phoenix Mystery School and then any of the practitioners all over the world. All right, awesome. So let's get started. Aura, so where would you like to start at? Is there anywhere you want to start at?
I'd mentioned it might be nice to kind of talk about what Eden is, like why we want to reseed Eden on the earth and what Eden even is. Because obviously Eden comes from Christianity, but we don't, I speak for myself, but we don't, I don't really prescribe particularly to any religion. But Eden means something to me, and so I thought it'd be nice to kind of share about that. But also, because I know that you're into like symbology and things like that, I thought it'd be really interesting to even touch on like the creation story of people say, oh, did Eve really come from Adam's rib, or when they fell from grace, the whole eating the fruit and the serpent, and whether that's all like an actual story or whether it could be more metaphors. Like the serpent and the dragon exist within so many different religions and different paths, and whether they could even be talking about your sexual life force energy, and not necessarily like a physical story, but more metaphors and symbology within it, which I thought could be quite interesting as well. So just to start where I what I feel about Eden, it almost feels like my calling is just almost maybe a soul memory of the earth, in like a really beautiful, peaceful, lightful state where for me everyone was living in some symbiotic relationship with nature. So the animals and the humans, we would all like eat fruit, and we weren't killing for food. We would just like eat from the trees, and everyone would live. And I personally believe that back when Eden existed on Earth, we were in a higher frequency, and we might not have died. Like we might not have grown old. It might have been completely different where death and suffering didn't exist, and it was just pure bliss and love and positivity, and everyone was connected to the divine, and everyone had a beautiful relationship with each other. And so somewhere at some point the earth or humanity in their conscious awareness fell to the point to where we are now. And it's interesting because a lot of people would say like a lot of people think like the mainstream story is that we have ascended from like apes and monkeys, and we are the most intelligent we've ever been. And really, when we do our work, we know from like ourselves and the stories of others and everything we've learned and heard that that is just so not the case. And so it's interesting to see where we are now, almost at one of our most disconnected and unconscious states, but actually we're going through what we call like the ascension right now, which is everyone's starting to wake up, everyone's starting to remember where they came from, the true divinity, everyone's starting to remember the divine. And so this is why I feel like reseeding Eden is so important, because it's almost like the earth's trajectory is on its way back to that place that as a soul I feel like I remember. So I don't know if you had anything you wanted to share about it.
Oh, well, you did such a beautiful job explaining that. Well, in book two, Galactic History of the Multiverse, we actually have a chapter, and guess which chapter begins it? Eden. Chapter one is called The Garden of Eden, actually. And who's creating it is Aphrodite, the goddess Aphrodite, which is Divine Mother Sophia, the creator, Divine Mother. And she is basically seeding from the very beginning blueprint. Now, what we know is that everything exists within a crystal. So Eden is actually started being created from a crystal, and everything was crystallized. Okay, so I'll make this as fast as possible because that's a very long story, obviously. And so she's creating everything from a crystal, the plants, the elements, the And even before you get to the humans, actually, you need to create their foundation. You need to create their forest, their beauties of where they're gonna live at, the natures, the apples, the trees, the flowers, right? So she's creating crystallized, all the colors, beautiful. But eventually, basically, the land needs to continue to create. And the way that the land creates is through lava, actually, through plasmic fire. So the volcanoes, you can say, start creating the land and the soil, and they spread. Lava is not lava. I work with children, so they tell me about the importance of lava and fire, and they talk about how volcanoes and how important they are because we're constantly, as humans, especially the ones that are denser or the dark aliens, they're constantly attacking Mother Earth. So she needs to replenish because she's being kind of sucked on parasitically, as we know how the ways that they harm her through nature and the negative technology and the pesticides, all that that they put in foods and chemtrails, right? So she's constantly being attacked, actually, all day long. And so the way that she replenishes her energy is she cleanses with the water, but number one is actually the lava that comes in through the volcanoes. So there's many volcanoes that we don't even know about that are beyond Antarctica, which goes into my third book, The Lost Cities of Terra. There's volcanoes beyond there, but there's also lots of volcanoes underwater that are constantly flowing in the lava. And the lava is the way the children explained it to me, is the lava is the life force, is the blood, is the plasmic blood of source. And then this energy comes in and recharges her and heals her. And then also, as they're healing her, they heal us. And I speak of this because I actually just had a fun retreat with some of the aura practitioners all over the world. And there's a couple of them that came. We've had several retreats this year. And when we went to the Field Museum, I'll show you a couple pictures. Let me see. Yeah, so this is so you can get a visual. Okay, so here we are at the retreat, right? This is the Field Museum, okay? All right, so let me show you though. When you go inside, what is the very first that greets you are dinosaurs. Now people ask me in my Antarctica Tartaria series, like, what are dinosaurs? And back then I simply said they are the real dinosaurs. Okay, so when you look at this is hanging here when you walk into the Field Museum, and it's huge, right? The giant doors, the Tartarian doors. Do you see this? This is not a dragon, you all. I mean, this is not a dinosaur, you all. This is not a dinosaur, you all. This is a dragon. Do you see it? So the bones that we're finding are the dragons. And the reason why I share this, so look at this, right? And then the dragon would have wings. This would have wings. Where are their wings? They must have placed them somewhere. Okay? This is a dragon flying. Even going into, and I'm gonna explain to you why. Hold on. So let me show you another one. They call her Sue, and they have had her at the Field Museum for a long time. So dinosaur Sue. And then we do know that factually birds, even birds, actually do come from dragons. They're descendants of dragons. So let me show you here. So birds are, say, you could say the dragons now that are flying in our sky. Okay? If you look here, this is Sue's head, which is Tyrannosaurus Rex, supposedly. Okay, but let's look at her. You see, they claim that she has these tiny little hands. See these little tiny fake hands here? Oh, that's a lie. When you look at those hands, you can tell that they just kind of like made up some hands and put them on her arms here. Put them on here. In reality, she had wings. So Sue was not a T-Rex. She was a powerful, powerful dragon. And it turns out that she was actually protecting Chicago, where I'm from and where we were at. See that? That is a dragon, not a dinosaur. All right. So now that we understand that dinosaurs are actually factually dragons, I remember back, we talk about how like our cats and dogs are the real dragons and unicorns and fairies, right? Because those are the bodies that could go into for now, be, until we raise into higher vibration of crystalline 5D. So, one of my animal companions, a puppy, I needed to find her. And the way that I found her to seed her and bring her to this time space into a dog form, I had to go back to prehistoric times at the Garden of Eden. And it was all lava, all of it. The Garden of Eden was all lava creating. So that's where the whole lava thing comes in and the dinosaurs, because Garden of Eden was created from dragons. Before humans even came, there had to be the dragons, the dinosaurs, to bring. Then they created, since they are the elements, I teach these courses that the dragons are the elements. They birthed all the elements through their dragon form. So we really are in dragon form, which then goes into why we are. You heard me mention at the beginning, and then I'll stop talking. And that we are in two dragons, factually are. When we're looking at here, okay, we see this here. This is the world. This is America. This is Europe, Asia, and then Africa down here. See here, you see this is a female dragon mother and the father dragon father. You see that? So, dragons came, then we came right after them, and we were not monkeys and nor were we cavemen.
It's also interesting. And then one of the things that like comes up a lot in pretty much every religion and culture is the Great Flood. So like, have you explored what like that was? Was there legitimately a Great Flood? Was it like a reset, or was it like a something done by the angels to get rid of some of the negative energies that was on this plane? Like, have you looked into that?
Well, then we need to go into the quantum physics of what water is really. So water is the connecting force that connects all of creation, our world to the next world, those old maps that you see, right? The Antarctica Circle that encases us, we're inside of the Antarctica Circle. All right. So that we also teach that water, that we're within a flower of life, the lotus flower. Okay. Now, in order for, ask your question again, I went deep.
About the Great Flood.
Great flood, that's right. So water, quantum fixes of water. So water brings in life force. So what's the only thing that could put out fire is water. So when I was speaking to Divine Mother Sophia and her creation story, she explains how she, the very first element that came to be was water, and she birthed from water within a seashell, just like Aphrodite, and she was the pearl, and she birthed out from the pearl, which you could say is the first dragon egg or the first phoenix egg, and there she came out. So now we understand water. So then water is the only thing that could come in and cleanse the space that it's in. Same reason why it's Atlantis, the city of Atlantis that was beyond, we're about to ascend out into the from the 5D into the 6D, sixth dimension, but we know that people became distorted with the AI, the artificial intelligence, which is in book two. And when that happened, then They needed to go down into the water, and that's what the great floods do, is that they cleanse the space. However, there are mud floods that are not generated by by Divine Mother. They force her, they zap her. So I also channel Nikola Tesla, and we've have found his articles, the patents on how he explains that he's the one that created some of those death rays that you see in Hawaii, Maui, the forest fires that you see like in California, or all unfortunately all over the world. So these rays, they shoot them into Mother Earth, where they know that they're going to affect her and her plates, like you could say, kind of like how where your bones meet and your joints. They shoot it there, splits the plates, creates earthquakes and all sorts of abnormalities because they're hurting her. And then they know where to hit at with the water because their technology, the negative aliens, advanced technology, you know, the Cabal, the military. So then what they do is when they shoot at it, then it creates a mud flood to mud flood the people. So they also have, it's same like, I don't know if you've heard of North Carolina, where the whole city was there wiped out. And yeah, there was water in the mountain. They knew where the water was coming out from because all the mountains, remember how we talked about it in the last video that you and I did together? In case you all didn't see it, we have it on our platforms, on our channels. You could check that out. We talked about how, you know, the tree trunks, the stumps, the mounds are the real trees. So then they know. So these trees are always crystalline connected. So the water comes in through the crystalline firmament, which I want to say that it's fact. When you research Nikola Tesla and every single scientist, including Einstein, they say a matter of fact that Earth is in the crystalline dome, a firmament. A Tesla coil, a Tesla ball, a plasma ball cannot electricity charge up unless you are in a form of a crystalline containment dome. So yeah, Nikola Tesla talks about that. So the water sucks in the energy and had to suck it in. And it's, yes, it's sunk down, say for, we'll use Atlantis, but technically is in a pocket of space. Since there's no time existing, time is a spiral. I teach this, time is a spiral, but it's also linear, okay? So since time is a spiral, I'll show you a spiral with dots. Since Atlantis is still there, but it's being held in a space in a bubble of love light, okay? Until people can keep retrieving. So time is here. So here, let's just say time here. So let's say this is our past here. So that's Atlantis. This is us now. This is our future when we ascend out. Okay. So right here. All these times align through a spiral. All three of these points you could reach through a spiral on certain dates, and that's too complicated to go into. But you could watch Orbiting into Higher Timelines, that video. So or join our courses too, but and okay, so those three dots point you to different time spaces. And then, so then the collective Atlantis is still sitting there. And then the way that we free Atlantis and is that we need to start remembering our lives from Atlantis. Also, Tartaria might be easier to remember, but most often I hear people, it's actually easier for them to remember Atlantis versus Tartaria because it seems like there was a lot of mind wiping. Like, what did they do to our memory of the world fair? And I have been finding documents on that. And then I also mentioned that I was going to do a video last time on the World's Fair's book I found from 1893 Chicago. So I did do that, part one to that. So you could check out more information on what I'm talking about there because these things are Mandeling in, they're coming in, and we're finding them now, like the postcards and the books of the World's Fair, and the memory has come back. And since I'm here and I'm talking about that aura, you know how they always erased World's Fair and they always said that like it didn't exist, right? Check this out. You all gonna freak out. Okay, so in our Chicago retreat, right? We're on the boat trip. Now I've been on this boat trip, you know, when I was a teenager and also maybe a year or two. And the things that they tell you, right, like on this boat tour that on Chicago it goes through the lake, and then you know they tell you like you know history, and most often the history is false, right? Okay, So let me find it. And as we're going through it, it didn't load on my phone. Okay. I'm just gonna pull where. Oh, there it is. I found it. Okay. So listen to this. Okay. Remember. So before this boat trip, did not share anything about, like, all the fake stories. And the story was that the Great Chicago Fire, which I found a Tartarian book on the fires in San Francisco. It tells me page by page, like 500 pages of what happened with the fires there. Anyways, so they claim a cow tipped over a lantern, at least here over here in Chicago, and it like lit up the whole city. It's like ridiculous. But we do know, since I've been covering it, is that it was UFOs burning up the places, and mysteriously all these cities went off on fire right around the same time. All right, so listen to him talking. The memory is back, you all.
Texas, though, but a lot of great things came out of that fire, and that is the second city. That's the city you've been looking around you today. That's why we have that nickname, not because we're second to none, but because the first burnt down. Also, we have a few more things. Not just that, but ladies and gentlemen, how about we get the world's Columbian Exposition? Now, 26 million people.
You hear that? He said the World's Columbian Exposition of Chicago. He said, how many million? They have never said that. Remember, they erased this from our memory and told us it wasn't real. Look.
26 million people visited our city. 26 million people visited our city and they saw a few things. How about the world's first Ferris wheel, almost looking like the one to our right now? But how about even taller? How about the world's first zephyr? How about the world's first recipe for the brownie? They may have also.
Okay, now he goes on and on talking about the Chicago's World's Fair that they claimed didn't exist. Incredible, huh?
Crazy. Yeah, it's the weapons that you were saying they were using with creating the mud floods, and you're saying they're still using them today. It's really interesting you brought up about the memory wiping, because one of the biggest things that I've been noticing more and more, and they show you in movies sometimes the stuff that they're doing. I've been watching quite a lot of movies where people, like the general public, have had their minds fully wiped, like memories gone. They don't remember things. And I've been talking a lot on my own socials about what are called gang stalking, but it's really these mind hacking weapons that they're using, that it's not just about now targeting, say, the weather and trying to cause natural disasters, although they do, and they target specific areas for creating earthquakes and things like that. But they also have been targeting the general public, like our minds, our thoughts, our emotions, our energy. They can make people, and I say they can make people, it seems to be only certain people are more controllable than others. But depending on if you've got like nanotech in your system, or if you've got a lot of electronics on you, or I don't know whether maybe just like it's a younger soul who just isn't as consciously aware and in control. And also, I think lifestyle as well can change it, because if you're out of balance chemically within, it's easier for you to for them to change your brain chemistry and take control. But this is one of the things that I've been noticing so much, is the mind hacking on the general public, and them specifically targeting people to try and cause chaos and cause traumas. And so in the UK, we're seeing so many different attacks of these, like just random people going and doing these random attacks. And it's like you would watch them and you go, no normal person would do something like that. And sometimes you hear these people who've attacked, they'll talk about it afterwards and they'll say, I genuinely don't even remember doing it. Like it's like my mind, it's like I blacked out, and next minute supposedly I've done this attack. And so I believe that they're using these weapons now, not just on like the weather, but on general people, trying to just ruin people's lives. But then those who they can actually mind hack and hijack, they're actually making them do negative things as well. So it's important to be aware of this stuff, and possibly even wiping people's memories of even doing these things after they've done them. So when you teach about doing shielding and stuff, that you can obviously ground to connect your energy to the earth, like what I've found is when we can charge our field up with light, whether that's protecting ourselves with the shields and charging ourselves up with shields that actively do that, or whether it's protecting our whether it's like connecting to the angels and the higher lights and bringing those energies into our field, wearing crystals, holding certain precious woods that channel in the different gods. The more we can strengthen our auric field, the more protection that we have, I feel, against these types of attacks. And I always say, in some of my in my magic for psychic protection class, I teach that whoever's in charge is in charge. So when you're charged up energetically, when you've got that light and that energy within, and your field is stronger than whoever's trying to attack you, then on a spiritual level, you're in charge. So you have more spiritual authority and their attacks don't affect you as much. So yeah, like I don't know if you wanted to go into the world events. Like, unfortunately, there's not that many positive ones in the UK. There's a lot of like negative things to report on, a few positives. But it's all good because from like the higher perspective, the angels and like the dragons, the guardians of Earth are basically just saying like it's literally all of this stuff that's happening. It's been happening for hundreds of years. It's all like all of these different things have been happening, but what's happening, what the difference is our perspective and our us waking up and actually being aware of what's going on. And it's like the awakening that's cleansing and cleaning and purging out the negative. So even though at the minute, especially in the UK, we feel like we're quite behind in the sense that you always say you're 4 years ahead with where you guys are with Donald Trump and stuff, but in the UK we definitely are going through it at the minute. And yeah, it can feel a bit like, gosh, what's going on? But I do feel like it's all because it's cleansing and purging out. And as long as we can just kind of ride the wave, we're all going to be good. I don't see things getting to that bad and serious a state. I kind of see it more like those who need that strong awakening might be put in positions where they have a strong rude awakening, but those who are already awoken will kind of get to sit on the sidelines and just watch from a safe distance, if you get me. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I could start with the first most popular thing everyone's going on about with the UK at the minute is the digital IDs. Have you heard about that?
I've heard about that and how they're trying to make you guys do them, and you all are protesting against it, huh?
Yeah, so we had, I think, it like 2.5 million signatures on a petition to say we don't want to do the digital IDs. Our Prime Minister dismissed it, so he doesn't care about the 2.5 million signatures. What I feel with it is they're already using the word mandatory, and in 2020, when all of that stuff happened, they used the word mandatory. But what we learn is the word mandatory means like you volunteer, it doesn't mean that you actually have to. They use wordplay. So that in the UK they call it legalese, and they use specific words to make you think or believe that you have to do something or else. But when you actually look into the real meaning of that word in what they call the Black's Law English Dictionary or something, this is like their special terminology, you realize it doesn't mean what you think. And so I personally feel like a lot of people are going to resist, and it's going to be one of those things where in a few years' time that everyone will just get over it and they'll drop it. Similar to what happened in 2020, but even more so because more and more people are aware of it all now.
Yeah, so I'm gonna answer that. But just to answer the water is because the Atlantis had to go into the water and it's in another dimension. Do you understand? So all you can reach all dimensions through the water. If you are an object on the water, why an airplane can technically is teleporting or technically traveling, time traveling when it's in the air, and so is any boat. Time traveling to another location, right? When they're moving in motion. And then this is goes into like the theory of relativity and the way and the motion that it's going into. So this is why there's floods sometimes that are those are the organic. Again, we talked about the bad ones that are mud floods. I think did you want to try to see if you go live on TikTok and see if it worked this time? Maybe it
I'll
cleared
try.
everything up. But if not, don't worry.
I'll try again. And if it starts to stutter on here, just let me know.
I'll
Hopefully,
let you
we'll.
know. And if not, we'll leave it alone. Okay, so that's that. So we were talking though about the memory and how they erase the memory, right? But look at how interesting this is. I made a video about it. That's the one that I just made on what's it called? The World's Fair video, Tartaria. Okay, check this out, you all. How come none of us remember the 1968 World Fair in Texas? Okay, this is gets trippier. In Chicago, well, in Chicago, this wasn't in Chicago, this one was in Tennessee. 1982 World's Fair, you all. I found these at antique shop. World Fair, it even says it, 1982, it's got a stamp multiple times, even down here. So how could we have forgotten that? And the reason is because as the memory retains and comes back, it does become a paradox, like a quantum paradox is what I'll call it. So we regain the memory, and then the quantum paradox happens. And then things Mandela in. And I think you are lagging, Aura, so you're probably just gonna be able to do one. Let's see. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, so you're just gonna be able to do the one. I'll keep talking while I wait for her to come back. Yeah.
I think I'm back.
Okay, are you back?
Yeah,
Okay.
we might have to, we could possibly do the next one on TikTok and like alternate or something if it is that.
We're gonna do that. No worries. Okay, so I'm gonna turn this off here. Okay, so, not sure if you heard, right? But the postcards, right? Okay, so how come we don't remember this? Because what happened is that as we continue to raise in decimals into a higher dimension as an Earth, every decimal we return, we get regain our memory back. When that happens, we'll call it a quantum paradox. There is a Mandela's in, our memory comes back. And since Lionsgate activated our Tartarian memory, and this is why also the lunar eclipse and the solar eclipse that just happened in your area, in your land in Europe, that brought this memory back. So literally right after this is where I found these postcards there at an antique shop. Okay. So we're gonna see them Mandelaing and coming in. They're just gonna paradox through a paradox just come in. This is a very deep kind of quantum physics that we were talking about in our Chicago's retreat, which I can't go into. But what happens is that every thought and every memory paradoxes in Mandela's in. And so that's that understanding. So know that as we raise, more things are going to be discovered and come back. Like, I was talking about the fires. This is the book, hundreds of pages on San Francisco fire. Okay. So, what's really, really good is that as you're going through that, we've been through that. We've been through that. We went through what you all are going through. Just like with the rest of the world, and ours was the nastiest because we had Biden and Kamala Harris, which we know are pedos, and they're just clones and MK Ultra, really. Well, Kamala's MK Ultra, one of those children that were trained since they were young, put there, and then Biden eventually wasn't a clone originally when he was with Obama. Now he is a clone. All right, so you have these kind of leaderships in your time. I've also made videos about the UK too. And we'll add all the links there. You guys are live on Rumble. And add your questions, you all. We'd love to answer your questions today. We do have Claire watching chat for you, okay?
There are a couple of questions already.
Awesome.
I was just thinking as well, actually, we could go on TikTok next time, or we could stop at 8 and jump on TikTok just for like an hour or something, or half an hour or something, and do half and half. It's up to you what you want to do.
Yeah, well, you can jump off and I'll keep recording here. Right?
Okay, yeah, and then you can join me on TikTok as well.
I'm good with my Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Perfect.
All right, awesome. So it is a tough situation, very, very tough, because then I also have a show with Laura Eisenhower, Dwight D. Eisenhower's great granddaughter, which you guys could go check it out. We try to do it every month, but she gets busy, so we'll see when we record the next show. And on that show, though, we talked about all these things where we were trying to get us to this organic timeline, which we did in the Americas, right? And we talked about the migrants. You guys have a really big issue of migrants. France has a very big issue of migrants. They're not really migrants, you all. They were made in clones. This is why they ask for people's COVID swabs, right? We've talked about that, to make clones out of people. So they are also MK Ultra, really kind of programmed. They grow them and then they put, like the movies, they put a bunch of screens in front of their faces. And then we also know that the radical Muslims, Islamic, they are really programmed to rape people. I was talking to one of the aura practitioners, and they said that they were was it this one? I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure it was this one. So there's an aura practitioner who teaches migrants how to speak a certain language, right? So as she's teaching them speak certain language, it's very a higher amount of Islams. And I can't remember, was it her or which practitioner? That's okay. So one of them, what happened was that as they were talking to them, no, that was a different one. Okay, so as they were talking, the Muslims among each other, they were asking them like, oh, have you ever raped a woman? And they were all saying it like it was normal. They were like, I have once. Oh yeah, I've done three times. I've done a couple times here and there. Oh, only one time. And the way they were saying it was like something normal. And then they were being asked like, okay, well, how now that you're in this situation, how do you feel about it? Well, they would be like, well, I could have gotten a disease. I could have, they just kept talking about themselves. They never addressed themselves as thinking like, what about the female you just raped? And I'm sure it might have been a young little girl. What about them? So they seem to be very programmed in a different way in this Islamic radical. We'll call them radical because we know that we can't say every single Muslim or Islamic person is wrong, is bad, not bad, like inverted. But we do know is that they marry little girls, 8 and 10 year olds, which at that point they're raping and molesting that child. So, what was your question?
I don't know if I had a question about this. We were talking about like.
Oh, yes, we're talking about, So it is, we know that we are working on it, and we've been exactly where you at with these different clones. So that's what we're talking about, the clones. So they're wired up differently. Also, if you are made from a clone and you are MK Ultra, it would be very hard to positive polarize them because they weren't born from a mother. You understand? If you're not born from a mother that carried you in her womb, and so on, it's going to be very birth you from her, her sacral chakra, and it's going to be hard to positive polarize these beings if they're not, if they were lab grown, made in a clone sac, and who knows what kind of liquid grown, they could grow them quickly in a couple months. These people you just kind of want to steer away, and those are the empty ones. And sometimes, though, going back to your question about the MK Ultra people that do things and they're like, I don't remember how I did it, is that you need to shield, just like Gabby Aura spoke about. It's that you want to shield with source of light because that doesn't it makes you a non-vibratory match to them take over. And we see them, they're Agent Smiths, like the movie The Matrix. Sometimes they could even come into a person who has a very low vibration. They come into their body and they just take over you, like the Agent Smith, the Smiths from the Matrix movie. You guys know what I'm talking about, Neo and stuff. They can do that. Or they also are being UFO abducted, taking up on the airplane. They don't realize that they're, or not airplane, a UFO, and they don't realize that they're being taken up, and they could just switch them off because they have an implant in their brain, and that's why they don't remember they're doing these things. Which is everything I've been talking about for 8 years.
Because one of the reasons why they've been bringing in the digital IDs is because they've brought in so many of these like migrants, but with the they're obviously just trying, it seems like they're trying to cause like a bit of a civil war or civil unrest in the UK, and people talk about the migrants being potential sleeper cells. So like basically like 1 minute they're just like acting as normal people, the next minute they get switched on or they get mind hacked or whatever it is, and then they're doing these different types of attacks. But it's interesting when you see the even bigger picture, because what I've noticed, like there was like an attack in Manchester. It was called a synagogue attack, and it was like it looked like a religious attack from a Muslim to a Jewish person, some Jewish people in like a synagogue. And then also we had that attack on that woman in Ukraine, the woman from Ukraine in the US who got supposedly stabbed in the neck by on the bus. And whether these attacks are actual real attacks or whether they're red flags with actors and stuff, I'm not sure. But it's interesting how they're making out, you know, Ukraine's the victim, or the Jewish synagogue, the Jewish is the victim, and it's like playing out the wars that are going on in the world. They're playing out who they want us to sympathize for and who they want us to feel sorry for. And so we'll see these different acts on, and it's all like this part of this big play to try and condition our minds into feel it, like taking sides on things and being swayed by emotions as opposed to like what's really at play spiritually with all of this. There's a lot of fake religious stuff going on, and there's like every single religious text talk about these end times, but they all seem to be against each other. Like the Christianity says that like that Christ is going to return, and then in Jewish texts it says that their Messiah is going to turn, and supposedly it's the Antichrist of the other one. And it's like every single religion that is talking about these end times, they're all talking about how their people are going to be the ones, the chosen ones, and everyone else is negative. And it's like they're trying to create a holy war or trying to create mass chaos between religions. But really, I feel like all religions are going to dissolve eventually, where everyone turns to truth, which is just the light and the truth that exists within all walks of life. The truth exists outside of like religion and specific paths and stuff. So I feel like it's like they're trying to play us against each other, but in the end, the light always wins. And so it's all really, it's all for the highest plan of the all, or creator, divine mother and father have got it all in hand. It's just interesting watching it all play out, to be honest.
Yes. But first of all, we need to understand that there's two different types of Jews. There's the Jewish who were our descendants of Yeshua. Okay, then there's the fake Jews. They're not really Jewish people. They're basically clones. Okay, they're clones, and they're the same. We call them skinwalkers. Okay, they dark sorcerers, dark sorceress. They keep cloning themselves. If you ever watch Star Wars, and you know the Chancellor guy, Darth Sidious, Darth Sidious is that his name? I don't think it is. So he clones himself and keeps himself revived, right? So that's who they are. It's really nasty. So there's a lot of Jewish that are appointed. Now, some of them are positive, some of them are negative. This is where you tell them apart. The ones that are the bad ones, that are in control, that are, you know, from Israel and so on. And those are the not real Jewish descendants of Yeshua. They are clones that have named themselves Jewish to pretend. They were also, watch, I'm about to channel Adolf Hitler, his higher self, and I'm going to figure this out because I found books and his maps. I found his documents. Books speaking of his era from the time that he was there, and he was looked as a phoenix. They called him rising from the ashes, factually in the books written in his time space. So what kind of mind swap have they changed? And we do know that something happened to the Jewish. But then we also hear, I'm gonna go into it though. This Friday, go to my Patreon or go to my aurapractitioners.com to chat, where I'm gonna talk about this channeling Adolf Hitler. And something, it feels like it was they mind swapped everyone and then changed all the history, and that's also right around the time they changed all our books and all our schools and made him into the bad guy. So I need to go deeper into that, and I have facts though for you all. I'm not just remote viewing like I typically do. I have facts, data that I can show you word per word of what I'm talking about. It's gonna be big. I'm starting that series there. So that's the difference. Okay, so let us not be confused by that. And yeah, what was your question?
Yeah, I think that they're called the Ashkenazi Jews or something, and they're not, like you said, they might have infiltrated all paths and walks. It's not just one, like you can't just use one label really for those who serve the night. Like, unfortunately, they've walked, they're in every like religion, every culture, like this. They've somehow wormed their way in. And I can't still delete all that, so I don't give them that power. But the word Ashkenazi, and again, that not to say that all of those people are them, because it's just hard to pinpoint one label for them all. But the word Ashkenazi, I believe, comes from like Akhenaten, which I was telling you in a different call, that Akhenaten was this one Egyptian pharaoh that basically told everyone that no, it's not that there's multiple gods that exist, it's only one, and you have to worship this one, and basically disconnected everyone from all the other gods. People talk about that pharaoh being basically Barack Obama is a clone of that pharaoh, and they've cloned him, and he's now in the clone body from that pharaoh. And so it's what some people call it, the lunar cult or the night, basically, those who serve the night. And they've been using the moon's energy and light for their magic. So that's why they use full moons for to do their rituals, and they always do things in the darkness. And so the moon, I believe, but I don't know for sure, that the moon used to shine as brightly as the sun did. And the moon and the sun, the ray and the evenings were like different conditions of energy. So the ray was a masculine charge, that was like a golden light. And then the evenings was a feminine charge that was a silvery white light. And that the moon and the sun, there were basically two suns, really, just like one masculine and one feminine. And then they have been siphoning the moon's light and energy and using it for their magic in an inverted way. Some people talk about the moon being like a false matrix soul trap, but I don't think that that is it, although they might be using her energy and magic to try and trap and trick souls in. But the moon, in my opinion or belief, is that the moon is a divine feminine goddess, and that they've been trying to steal her light and use her energy and magic, because the divine feminine energy amplifies things. That's what feminine energy does, it multiplies. And so they've been stealing her light to try and use it in their magic, and that's why that's why they're known as the lunar cult, really. But it's not that the moon is bad, but they have been trying to steal the divine feminine's energy.
Yes. It, beautiful. Everything you say is just very spot on. Aura, and then the moon, I mean, she is Divine Mother Sophia too. We call her Grandmother Moon in indigenous culture. And she, but then also we also learn that she's also the ascended earth, and why you could see the reflection of our earth through her moon's reflection. And why she's constantly building up is, I have videos on this too, of scientists talking about how the moon is actually plasma. I mean, what else can explain how a celestial body can go full, smaller, smaller, big, then grow, grow, grow again? I mean, you have to be plasma light to do that. So yes, she is looking bright even at night, right? She's almost as bright as the sun sometimes. And yeah, I agree everything with what you said. Beautiful.
With the magic as well, what they have in the UK, they've built our Houses of Parliament on a pentagram, which is like the star in the circle, which is the symbol for Venus. So again, they've been using this divine feminine energy and symbol, and they've built their Houses of Parliament on this specific symbol, so that when they try and create the laws of the land, they're trying to cast it as spells. There's a lot of like magic in our legal system. They even call them magistrates, like the magistrates and stuff. They use magic a lot, and this is what I teach in my stuff, is like magic is happening everywhere all the time. And you can either take your power back and learn magic yourself so that you are actively casting like your own positive spells. You've got full control over your own life and what you're creating. Otherwise, you're going to be used in other people's magic and spells, because like the people who were in power, not anymore, so we don't give them that power. They have been using like magic against us in big ways, and even the whole attacking with these energy weapons, that is just a form of magic. It's just literally using technology to do it. So yeah, but this is why things like the stuff you teach is so important, because people need to know how to do that. It's fair enough going, yeah, take your magic back, take your power back. It's like, okay, well, tell me where to start. Tell me like what actual steps I can take. And so that's why obviously I love taking your courses myself. One of the things I've been using loads, there was one shield you shared that was like for all the animals, a Celtic shield where you get to like protect all the animals. Pretty much every way I've been visualizing the animals in their shields as well, which is really nice. So,
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's beautiful. I love that symbol too, to protect the animals. What we go in is like we look at like Egypt or recently the Celtic in UK and Ireland, and we figure out, okay, what does this symbol mean? And it's always spot on, and it does exactly what Divine Mother's telling us it does.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I stopped while I was walking past some horses the other day and did it to them, and they were like, "Thank you, Aura, for putting the protection on them and stuff." So
Goes into a conversation we're having at the Field Museum in Chicago, where I showed you the dinosaurs. So as we descended down, right, they all went through a type of degression, just like we did, right? So we were like beautiful and like 10, 15 tall and like 20 and 30 feet, whatever, you know, depending on what kind of being we were, our skin would glow. And then, you know, we became the hobbits. We're the hobbits, right? So all the animals had a different form that are now still currently here. So for example, when you're looking at a horse, I saw them go through the digression, and they went from being a unicorn to, and I saw them, you know how the horses shake? Like they shake like that. The unicorn shook, and boom, shifted into a horse. So when you are seeing horses, they're factually the unicorns degress. Same for the birds, are now the dragons, you know. Just look at your environment. Who were they? Like the deer, they were these magical beings, spirits, guardians of the forest, that had these giant antlers, and they would glow, and just gorgeous beings, godly, really. So thank you for protecting them.
The animals are so beautiful, and I'm really pleased that we're all starting to wake up, because I'm seeing more and more people just like realizing like just how precious they are. Like almost as a soul, I feel like some of them can be even kinder than what humans are, and it's like the way we treat them is very sad compared to what they deserve, really.
Yes.
I did want to ask you actually, since we're talking about the dissension, because it's come up in like movies, but also I remember it myself. It's like, you know, those fairs they used to have, but they used to have like freak show fairs, and they would have like mermaids in, like they would have like a tank with a mermaid in, they would have like a giant, just random one-off beings, and like so they managed to capture these last remaining few different species of being, and they would have them in these freak show circuses. And it's like almost sad, like what happened there? Was that literally just at one of these points where like almost all the mythical creatures and all that, like, they almost all died off, and these last few were captured, and it's quite sick. Like I saw the mermaid and I was just like, I almost feel like that was really true, like they actually had tanks with mermaids and they were doing stuff like that.
Exactly. So they were the last ones left, and they had them, you know, as a circus, you know, And in the form too, they kind of gave them protection though from their point of view to go into these circuses, because otherwise if they're out in the wild, they're killing them. So at least they had the protection of the circus too, to keep them alive. So yeah, so that was real. Every one of those, like, different beings, magical type of different, say, different types of humanoids were real, were a thing. I mean, we're talking about a world where you could shift into an animal. Back then we could, especially in the 5D construct, we could. A higher fourth dimension, we still can shift. Some of these gods that you see that have like lions or tigress with them, it's their form. They could shift into a tigress or lion because you could do that.
It's really cool.
Higher dimensions. The higher dimensional earth.
Really cool. So some people talk about like obviously experiments underground, and like, do you think that they would ever come up to the surface, these beings that can't come into the sunlight?
Say that again.
Like, there's like actual vampoffs, like vampires under the ground, like actual beings that can't come up into the sunlight, beasts that have evolved, like devolved really, into like non-humans. I don't even know if they started off as humans or what, but they just like they're actual just like demonic entities, but
They just cut
possibly.
off our humans. Back then, with the fall of Atlantis, the rest of the world that stayed on the lands went through a degression. As they degressed down, I have a video I did, it's called The Grimm, Galactic History, I think. Atlantis, Atlantean. I have a Mayan Atlantean series, so that's where you can find that. We're adding all the links here, but otherwise, I'll add it to my Rumble, all the links for you guys later. So in there, she was talking about these humans and how she was going around and she had alchemy. She could use, just kind of like those video games that you see where like they're fighting and they have like alchemy grids. You have the alchemy grid around you. You're sending the alchemy, like say Doctor Strange, Marvel, and then you're containing them, which is a lot of how we teach. It's like we have the angels and Divine Mother and Father contain some of these entities that are found in people's bodies in alchemy symbols to help them purge out. So back, these vampiric entities do exist. And there's even some that are, say that they're vampires, right? And they drink blood and so on. I've run into a couple of them in the different locations I've traveled. Some of them, they were vampire-ish. They had the big mouth with the big teeth and they were bald. And like when you don't see light and your skin would go very thin, and you're all they were all kind of like slimy and thin, like their skin was so thin from not seeing light, and they were crawling. Good visuals for you guys. Anyway, so they were like in this one location under the rocks, and then what happened is that what we teach you is how to entity removal and how to basically positive polarize these entities, because they were humans and they were a tribe that lived there, and then when the fall of Atlantis happened, they digressed into these kind of demonic things because the AI virus came into them. That's in part two, and it morphed them and changed them into these dark entities. So then the only way they could feed off, and then I saw like in this forest area by a lake, and they even call it like the something devil lake, but there's, they call everything. I cancel delete that. A lot of these things is the devil, they call it devil things. But at least in Americas they do that. And what happened is that when I called them, they orbited them, they positive polarized them, so it's like a mandala. So then yes, they existed in a past inverted timeline where they were there, and they would actually take people. If you went to that forest in the night, you would go missing. And then they'd eat them. And then but during the day, when I went during the day, they couldn't get us because it was day, because they're like, the sun. So at night though, they would come out. And so the angel said is that they orbited them into a positive polarization, they were gone. So then what replaced them is now the original timeline where they were this nice village in their forest, and now they've positive polarized. And then once you positive polarize these monsters, you could say, they have the chance to come back in and as a regular human, where they're not a monster and whatever monster they turned into.
Right. Because there was that we also in the UK have stuff like something's called like the devil's arse in the UK or something like weird names, but actually some of these places are like really high vibration and they've tried to name them that to scare people from going to those places. But there's a really interesting video I seen, and it was like these tribe people. They were somehow on a podcast, and this person was saying, like, don't you know about like the greys? And the tribe people didn't know about the greys, but then they showed them a picture, and the tribe guys were like, yeah, they're the ant people. They went underground, but they're really dangerous, but they call them the ant people. So, like, did you know about that?
Well, I know about greys. I can see how they would have gone underground. So we talked about this in our Antarctica Tartaria series, as how the sun, the digression, and the sun did become too radioactive. So you did have to go. That's where you see all the civilizations that go into the mountains. We see them, right? Like they're melted. Some of their civilizations, most of them were melted by UFOs. Some of them were just melted because the sun was that strong. I found a little blue book, The Last American, that explains this. It's four series episodes on that. You can watch to figure that out. So yeah, greys could gone. They went into the earth, but then also they're a future of what initially the hybridization where they injected the COVID vaccine into people and what humankind will turn into, but we cancel and delete that because that's not happening in the future. But technically, since they are it, we all these timelines exist because like the spiral that I showed you, they're existing. Not until the whole collective assists ascends out will that all those future timelines where humans that did jab themselves and became these hybridized humans turn into greys, basically. They're existing. So from their time space in the future, they turn into these hybrid greys or ant people inside. They're teleporting or through their UFOs, and they're trying to make humankind turn into them because they want to be them. And so, but from our time space, we're changing those timelines so that we don't, well, not us, but humanity doesn't turn into them in the future. But till then, those timelines are existing till they're all gone. That makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting as well because I really like prescribe to like Native American type stuff. I've definitely had past lives. But one of the things that they do talk about is like a grandmother spider, like a creation grandmother spider. And I was like a bit confused because I know we were talking about or seeing like some kind of negative spider race. So like do you know what they're talking about with this grandmother spider? Could they have like got it muddled up, or could it be like a false story or what?
That one's a bit hard. So everything does have an organic form, it's tough. I don't like spiders personally.
A lot of people are naturally scared of them, and I feel like they are created, including with flies as well, as like spying animals, like to basically be in people's homes and spy upon them, maybe even to be used as ways to attack people. But just the word spider, like to spider and flying around to bug people, and when you've got like someone listening in, it's you can bug someone's house. Like the words themselves just give you all the clues, don't they?
So we'll go more into it. It's okay. So they use their spider archons, these giant archons. Some of the children I've talked to, they have memories where before they were born, that they're like in archangel forms, the children are, and that they're fighting, and they're fighting with their dragons, and they're fighting these giant spiders, and these spiders are huge. Yeah, now we're winning, but it especially it's hard depending on what time space we're talking about. Like years ago we're talking about it's hard, it was harder then, now it's easier. Since this earth has lifted in higher in vibration, dimensionally. But so bugs, yeah, this is tough. So I would just honor the spider and take it out of your home if you can. If it's too big, you might have to squish it, send it to the light, but yeah, so they have these memories, and I think so do we, and that's why we have that, say, spider phobia, because they are constantly archons. But just to think about the spider is that that's the way the archons use some of their inverted matrices. They use spider webs. So, like for example, this one time I was at this location where there was like a dark sorcerer skinwalker witch. So what this witch did in her town is that she put a spider web, and if there were you were too much light, you would kind of like she could feel it. Like she was a big spider, basically. So like you know how spiders could feel like if you're stuck on their web, she could feel that like that. If you're too much light, okay? So she would go to her location. She would go find you at her location, wherever there's too much light and you tripped up her spider web, and she could technically take people out, do something to them, curse them and stuff, right? Because this lady, but and we have a sacred alchemy that we teach that they can't really see you. So they just know that there's a discrepancy in their dark force, right? But they don't know where it's coming from. So, and if you think about to the spider, what happened to humankind, or even the giants? They became kind of petrified. Or looking at Egypt, they mummify them, don't they? They would wrap them up, mummify them. They would wrap them up in these mummifications, and that was when Egypt was dark. That's after Cleopatra, after she was gone. After, right, like the Romans moved in, all these dark clones that we talk about, the fake Jewish that we spoke about, they moved in. Those are the Romans. Okay, so when they would mummify them, they would suck out, their fluid. They would one, mummify them alive, and then they go through this petrification. What does the spider do? She puts you in a wrapping, and she mummifies you. She sucks you out, and she dries you out. So that's what they did. So I think all these correlations is like tripping us out and creeping us out because they're doing that to their black magic sorcery and these mummies.
Makes me wonder as well, because I believe that the reason why they mummify them is because it helps them stay on the astral plane. So I wonder whether, because there's a part of them that's still almost tethered to the body in some way. So whether the spider or the beings are trying to steal their energy to control them on the astral so that they can't ascend and go somewhere else or something.
Yeah, so they're trapping the soul here, and they're using them as a moving matrix, as a battery energy to keep themselves going. Because they can't magnetically charge themselves up. They could only charge up, and that's why they're parasitic, that's why they're vampiric, because they charge it up by sucking on your light or your blood.
Nice. Gosh.
Do you want to take some questions or what do
Yeah,
you?
definitely have a check. See what people are asking.
Yeah, let's see. So we got a couple questions here. So someone said, "What's the real story of Adam and Eve and Eden Garden?" So you want to share your I know you spoke about it at the beginning, but I think it'd be beautiful for you to share some, and I can share a little bit.
Yes, I've not actually tried to remote view it like you probably have, Aurora, but what I got from the story of Adam and Eve, particularly about the eating from the tree of knowledge or good and evil or whatever, and the serpent, is that I believe in Eden we were living what I call a light full life, and that means eating abundance of fruit, and we were all enlightened basically. And when you're enlightened, your kundalini energy, your sexual life force energy, your general energy itself is in an ascended state, and you're always ascending upwards, like all the plants, all the trees, everything grows upwards towards the sun, and so does your kundalini energy when you're ascending in that way. And I feel like when you might so disagree with this, but the tree of good and evil for me was when she ate from the tree of good and evil, it's basically the losing your light or enlightenment in some way. So whether it's to do with too many orgasms, because what I've found, and this is where we might disagree, is when you orgasm, it's a spasm to the nervous system and you lose a bit of your life force energy each time, which is why they can use it for magic, sex magic. But what's good to do with tantra and stuff is to hold the energy within instead and use it within as opposed to expelling it out. But either she like she, not necessarily she, but the people in the garden started losing their light in some way, maybe over time. The tree being the tree of life is in your internal nervous system and your energy. And in with the apple, that's a representation for me of your life force energy. So when they take a bite, it's like having a hole in your auric field. You see pictures of an apple with a bite in, even on our Mac laptops and stuff. And for me, that's just saying like somehow they lost their light. They allowed a hole or tear in the aura where then it allowed for negative energy to start infiltrating in. And then this serpent or this negative energy could be similar to like the snakes that you create when you're having negative thoughts. When your negative thoughts go out into the field, they go as little energetic snakes and they can attach to people and cause harm. And so for me personally, I feel like the story of Adam and Eve was really just like a very overview of like at some point on Earth, everything was golden. It was like really beautiful existence. And man's fall from grace was basically us losing our light and enlightenment in some way, that allowed for negative energy and entities to start infiltrating us. And then that's when man fell from grace. And this is one of the biggest things I always emphasize with people is if you take the Bible and take some of it as truth, I personally don't. But there are some light, there's light that I see in all religions, and I talk about the Bible a lot because that's just kind of what I've been brought up around. It's what I know most about. But when they what they talk about is once they fell from grace, that's when they started eating meat. So I always like teach people, I'm like, people say, oh, in the Bible, God says you can have whatever you want for your food, you can eat animals, like that we have dominion over the animals. But for me, it's like, no, that's literally a sign of when we descended is when people started eating meat. So I'm like, I want us to get back to Eden, which means us all being vegan again. And I fight for the animals because I love the animals. It's probably my main thing that I always talk about with my spiritual journey is trying to make people realize that we need to go vegan, for the animals, for ourselves, for our ascension. But that's the whole story for me is kind of more metaphorical, talking really about our energy and enlightenment.
Yeah, so you're not wrong. You told the inverted, the curse, of what they did with the within the Garden of Eden. So since Aura told the inverted, I will tell the positive of it and what it really was. So the Garden of Eden was basically the first construct of human life to be within, and the Tree of Life. The tree that represents there is the tree of life. Every soul has their own tree in the tree of life. So if you curse the tree of life where they took the apple from, then you curse humanity. Okay? And so that's where the tree of knowledge, and we teach this through our Quantum Galactic Akashic reading. We talk about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, and how we all have our tree of life, and a lot of people's trees of life are infringed upon. So that's the original. So what Aura spoke about is the original dark curse of how they infringed upon people's trees of life, their Akashic, by this venom, placing it into the Bible. And that's not something that Yeshua wrote. What they did is they took what Yeshua wrote about the tree and how the apple was sacred, and you can say Adam and Eve took the apple, and the apple was the fruit, the nourishment, the life force that the trees give us. And what Aura spoke about was what the you get it, the curse of what they did to it. Okay, so yeah, and so I mean the so Adam and Eve are basically Crystal, Divine Father and Mother, and Divine Mother Sophia and Crystal. Like say the first essences of mother and father, and then their first creation and then all the humans that basically grew out, all the human life grew out, like how the first humans grew out of the land, the mountains, the trees. They grew out like a flower would grow out or a tree would grow out. And then from there, they were given the gift to create, to have babies. And then, you know, that's when more babies came out. And yeah, so I teach that. And then to the orgasm that you were speaking about, I teach on how you could use this sacredly with your divine partner, your twin flame. Yeah, and use the energy very cautiously, and not giving it to, yeah. I think I teach that, not giving it outwards, but you expand it, but you expand it only within your magnetic fields of your twin flame partner to create, to stop anything, you name it. I mean, it does anything you can think of. I mean, this energy is creates babies. So, I mean, if it creates baby, imagine what it could create for your life force and your family. And it heals you as a divine partner. It heals you through this sacred act with one another. And it's actually the most blissful place to connect yourself to to where you are one with your higher self and with your twin flame union. But you got to get rid of the bugs and the entities before you reach that, because till then, you're going to be having what Aura's talking about. If you have entities attaching you, then whatever's inside of you is going to be eating on that light, on that orgasm, or whatever's happening. You get it? So you're feeding the matrix and the dark ones, the entities. Yep. Okay, so next one is, someone said that you've been feeling a massive relief from the peace deal Trump made for Israel. Just a huge thank you for everyone holding the light to support this coming into fruition. Is there anything that could be shared about how it came to be energetically and physically? That is huge. You are huge. Because if we know Israel is the real bad guy in the background and he's making peace deals with them, what do you think he was doing when he was doing every executive order? He was breaking the curses. And who was helping him? Everyone who could see his true form and how he didn't want children to be transhumanism, didn't want men in the bathrooms with little girls using the bathroom. Disgusting. We go on for days, you all, talking about all those things that he removed from America. And our hopes is that we want to send this off to the rest of the world. So as he's making these world peace, and I could feel exactly what you said in your comment, strong relief the minute that he has, you know, made that peace deal. Because we have not seen this world peace since before World War I, before like the wars of Tartaria, because World War I marked the first war of Tartaria, where they began to erase Tartaria from us. So yeah, that's what I can say. It is humongous, you all. We have to keep sending love to this cause of world peace. And I made a video on, I forgot what it was called, but we'll add it here in chat, on this is the beginning of Tartaria. We're here, and this is why, again, the Tartarian, the world fairs that I'm talking about, has that memory is coming back, because we're there. We're starting that. And I mean, goodness, you all, none of us want any of that Ukraine wars and Israeli wars. Like, so think about this. So I've been talking about mandalas and how quantum paradoxes come in, and they just come in, new timelines come in. You forget about the old inverted timelines. You now are in a new timeline. To get even trippier, you all, this is factually for real. So we have an aura practitioner who went through a level up, you could say, a mandala effect. Say 1 year ago, or even actually just a couple months ago, they had a different car that was black, a different make. Okay? We saw them recently. They have a white car, a different make. When we ask, what happened to your black car? They say, I've never had a black car. What? You get it? And their memory is all this like white car, but they definitely had a black car because several of us remembered it. Okay, so this is what it's going to be like. Our memory is going to level up different timelines, and yeah, matrix are going to come in. So what will that do? This world peace, it will level up and Mandela out a more positive timeline for that, for hopefully the whole hopes is Israel, you know, UK, Scotland, Mexico. We are hoping and holding the space for all of you to be within that. And anyone who doesn't understand the world peace and how he's doing that, I mean, they're still basically in the inverted world and they're mind controlled, or they're just not simply a matching vibration to the higher vibrational understanding that that's what's happening, and they're indoctrinated to the system of the fake news. And in their world, they think that they're doing good. So that you can't knock them because they think that they're doing good, because they have their MK Ultra control, just like, you know, the show Stranger Things and all those little kids that they took, and right, you've heard of that. That's what system they're under. So in their world, they're doing good. They think they're doing good. And then there's just always, there's also some just really bad people there, of course, too.
Someone's asking as well if you think it's for good now, the war finally over, hopefully.
That's the way we're heading. We don't know because every day is a different world or different existence. And but I mean, that's the world I'm heading on. I'm riding that surfboard. You guys get your surfboard and ride it with me. Come on.
We've got to just hold that light and hold that vision, because we can't afford not to, really.
Course not. Because the more that we save children, don't we? More and more. So you good with that question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last one, someone said, what about Netanyahu, the Israel Prime Minister? I'm not sure what they're asking about that.
I think they're talking it like if he's positive. I'm not gonna go into that one. So yeah. So those are all the questions. Let us know if you have any other questions before we finish up.
Shall I just read us some of the comments that people had written? So someone said, I feel they're trying to create these timelines into the collective consciousness. We need to keep focusing on the highest timelines. So what we were just saying. Someone says, plus there's many ley lines going into that area of Parliament in the UK, like a vortex. So they are using energy, magic. Someone says the ant people are spoken about within the Hopi prophecy. It'd be interesting to know what they say about the ant people in the Hopi prophecy, because I know that the prophecy itself talks about like the rainbow tribe, and basically once the earth is come to its once the earth is ravaged, it says something like that, and there's like a lot of suffering going on, then the rainbow tribe will awaken all across the world and save the world. So yeah, someone says time to end speciesism. Yes. Let's go. Someone says many old tapestries show a higher vibration of Earth with the angels. All the animals and humans in harmony together. Even the animals were in harmony together. Then they started eating the animals. So I've seen videos of like people say cats can't be vegan, but I've seen videos of cats scranning down on like a sweet potato and stuff. I think that I think about animals like eagles that do tear up like mice and feed them to the babies. But if you're a baby eagle and your parents have just only ever fed you meat because that's all you knew what to eat and stuff, and maybe there's not enough fruit trees on the earth anymore because they've messed with the weather and manipulation. Maybe that like they have to eat it now, but they didn't in the past, and so like they're addicted to say the blood and eating the meat now. But if we were to grow fruit trees and have berries everywhere and all the things that they could go back to eating naturally, we could all go back to living like that instead. Someone says, I was also thinking about how they eat the animals which represent their sign on the Chinese zodiacs, like pigs and roosters are extremely targeted. Really interesting.
So I love everything you talk about bringing the love light to the animals, or I really appreciate you doing that. Ever since I was little, and I'm sure many of you guys can relate, I love animals so much. They were so much easier. They were my safety around the humans that were so dense and had all these like negative compromising thoughts that I could hear as a little girl. And yeah, they were the one light that could look at you with pure love. And that's also why they use them. They use them, right? They use them in Santeria and voodoo, killing the chicken or the eggs and so on, because they know that the life force that they have. And we talked about this, is that, yeah, they began to eat each other because it was us who had degressed. And it was a way that they can help us out, basically, because that's what they had to turn into to save us. And the ways that, to me, is like eating an animal is like eating a human to me. I mean, it's something even more pure actually than a human. And how could you eat that? But then I also honor that sometimes people need to eat animal life, in their time space. That's maybe their highest choice for now. And holding the space that, so once they're ready to raise in vibration, because you will instantly raise in vibration the minute you become vegan, because you're not eating someone else's life anymore. So yeah.
And you got a cute little doggo behind you as well. Oh,
Yes.
your dogs are always so cute. They hold such a beautiful energy for your calls and stuff. Barbara, I think that is everything. We'll definitely have to track, maybe try. We'll see what the internet's like next time. See if we can try it on both again, but maybe do a TikTok one next time or something. And then, yeah, it's been really nice to do this though, and maybe I'll see what else comes up in terms of what's going on in the UK. Updates and stuff. I don't think there was anything else for now really to share, but hopefully some positive updates when we're next back on.
So the UK, I mean, like, how many bad guys are there really, you all, in the UK, in comparison to how many there is of you? That's a big outnumber there, you all. So think about it. I mean, we've heard about Nepal. That's what I will say there. And then I also want to comment to what they said about the zodiac animals, because this is something else that came up in the Field Museum in Chicago, is we're looking at the zodiac signs. And then they were talking about their importance in this like Asian area we were at. And so then what they said is that these zodiac signs, they used to be, say, like, how we were gods and these giant god forms, they were also giant animals. And then you see them are like petrified into islands, right? They're an elephant and so on. So these beings were, say, the gods of their animals. And so they tell you to eat the pig and the cow because they're actually the most sacred, but they're all sacred though in the Chinese zodiac sign. So is to eat them is like eating their godly form that once walked the earth. Yeah, and they were the guardians of the natures, the mountains, the trees, the forest, the water.
Claire just mentioned there was just a couple last questions.
Okay.
Someone said, I still want to know more about Adam and Eve.
So to know more about that, then you want to watch my Mayan Atlantean series, where I go back to Mu and Lumeria, and I talk about that time space. I mean, I even channeled Noah's Ark, which Noah actually was Yeshua seeding in, and moving the lands, Pangaea. He split the lands, Noah's Ark, and put them where they were at. The two dragons that I showed you at the beginning, the father dragon, the mother dragon. Yeah.
And then last one was, they said human DNA is similar to pigs, dogs, and other primates. What do you think?
Go ahead, Aura.
Yeah, I've heard it's very similar to pigs in the sense that they use pig skin for doing tattoos and stuff. I'm not surprised that like we've got similar DNA to animals because we are in a sense animals, but I do feel like humans can attain a level of enlightenment or conscious awareness that, in a different way, animals can. So I think we're similar and different, really. Yeah, I don't know if you had anything you wanted to share.
Well, it goes back to like how we're all crystals grown from crystals, right? So down to our DNA has crystals inside of it. So really what animals are, I do like a matrix presentation, and they showed me that animals are fractals of us. And they are also fractals of the trees and the nature and the guardians. Born from the same flames, born from the same crystals. And I think that's why you really feel passionate about them. It's like you're all eating your other self. And so what do you think about that? Yeah, so we would have similar type of DNA because we're born from one another. Like the dragon always says, I am the dragon and you are the dragon. I am you are me. So, yeah, created from God's source, divine mother and father, and everything to be, say, like created into matter, into our physical form, and to have a soul. Every animal has a soul, right? You always run into like religion too that claim that they'll have, you know, animals don't have soul, which is a humongous lie. You know, there's, I think, Jehovah's Witness, they say that the child doesn't have a soul to a certain age, which is insane. So yeah, I hear all these stories, right? And this is all false information again, dark seeded into our memory, our consciousness, so that we could create it for them. So let us all not consent to any false information, false inverted matrices, false knowledge. No, we don't consent to it. No, we don't. Which is, so I think, something that we'll really be doing here. Aura, I love everything you added. I love your everything that you asked as well. Your knowledge is so divine. I am so honored to be speaking to you and that beautiful goddess energy that you're holding space for over there, all the Celtic goddesses and their divinity to be spoken through you. Thank you.
You too. It's been such a pleasure as always. And thank you for just all the insights and your wisdom. It's really great to just hear your perspective on everything. And like I always say, your everything that you channel is it's refreshingly true. Like it just feel, you know, it resonates on like a soul level. So I appreciate all of it and hope you guys watching have really enjoyed it as well. It's been nice to spend some time on your Rumble, Aurora, and we'll go on TikTok next time and mix it up from there and see how we get on. So
Yes, so welcome to our show, Eden show. And we will be typically live every Monday, first Monday of every month.
Yeah.
Thank you. Love you, honor you, respect you. Thank you, everyone.
Love you. See you guys.